Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. So today we wanted to touch on a very important topic, sometimes one swept under the rug, but in some circles, I guess, popular as well. And it is this idea of church porn.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk. I know we wanted to have a couple different conversations, but I figured we'd start off with that one and then roll over into the other one. Unless you were feeling different there.
No, I'm fine talking about that.
Yeah. All right. So, definitely, I feel like this one is an interesting one, especially when it comes to the aspect of talking about it from a lens of unity within the church. And what does it mean for that? How does it affect that? And how those things play together. So I know I just kind of want to pitch it over to you, but first, let's pray. I'll let you pray, and then I'm going to let you just kind of share how this topic kind of came up in the first place.
Yeah. I'll do my best to remember exactly how it came up. But, it comes up all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't always talk about it. So, I'll pray about that.
Let's do it.
Lord, I thank you for this time to speak what's on our hearts, and also God, for you to just download into us. I pray that our words are your words. I pray that you help convict us when we need to be convicted, and encourage us when we do be encouraged, and that these conversations can just be had. And I pray for the people that might be listening or watching that, God, you're just working on all of our hearts together to bring unity to the very difficult subjects. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, So I actually had us down for two different things today, but I'm down with talking about this one.
Okay.
Because I was actually really encouraged by, we started going to a church here in Clarksville. If nobody knows, I moved to Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yes.
And we started going to church here. And one of the things I really appreciated about it was one of the first sermons that we went to go see. They were talking about the involvement of porn and how it's infiltrated all parts of our lives. And including in the church.
Yeah.
And I've looked up some stats on this. There's numbers around like 50% of people within the church body, or even within church leadership.
Oh, wow.
That struggle with the temptation of porn. And it's so prolific. Wow. It's not talked about a whole lot for being as prolific as it is.
Yeah.
And, and part of that's because there's a lot of shame around it. And,
absolutely,
understandably so.
Yeah,
because I think we all kind of deep down know that it's wrong, even if we have fallen victim to it, and many people, and that's the enemy's goal also, is to make us feel isolated and alone in our sin.
Absolutely,
and just let you know right now, 50% of people are with you if you're struggling with that, and so it's not, you're not isolated and alone. Many people, and most people, have been exposed to it at some degree, whether you're struggling with it currently or just have been exposed and had to overcome it at some point in your life. I know I have, especially my younger years. And so, we've all been there, and it takes, talking about it sometimes to get to that point of overcoming.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And so, that's what we want to talk about today, and just how we can, what the perspective of God is on it, and how we can help each other, and how we can beat the enemy in this battle.
Yeah, no, that's good. We definitely, it's staggering to me, and I've heard it before, but I mean, for the sake of this conversation, is still, and the way you put it, I think just stands out a lot. First of all, you say 50%, one out of every two has had or is struggling, right? Looking at whether they consider it a struggle or not. One out of every two are having some type of relationship with porn, right?
Yeah.
And what gets me is that it doesn't change. It doesn't change whether you're talking about people in general or people within the church or mm-hmm. leadership within the church. So it seems like there's something going on here where we're not seeing it actually, we're not seeing where there should be change, where you would expect, you know, 50% of people in general, but not within the church, right? You would expect mm-hmm. it to go down some. Nope. You would expect it to go down, especially when you talk about leadership within the church. And we're saying, no, it's still 50%. So what is going on here that we're not seeing something affect this? And when I mean something, I mean primarily we're not seeing the fact that we're saved by grace, born again, new creations in Christ. We have the Spirit of God indwelling with us, that we are trying to follow a moral law and standard that we see within Scripture that clearly speaks against these things. With all of this being within the body, you would think there would be some type of change. And unfortunately,
I did want to look that up really quick just because. I do think there is a little bit of a difference. And so uh-huh. I did look it up. And it actually says 68% of non-Christians.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, even higher.
And then 54% of practicing Christians.
Okay. Okay. So there's a little change.
There is a little difference there, and which is good.
Yeah.
But also, it is still a massive problem.
That, yeah. I mean, because that's still one out of every two.
It's still one out of every two.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the difference that you would see there if you go up to 10, I mean, you said it was what, 68?
68% is
68. So, I mean, if we're rounding up.
Now, again, we're just doing quick Google searches.
Yeah, we're doing quick Google searches,
this is
right?
A general, probably estimated kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, but if we're doing out of every 10 and we're rounding up, then I would say, okay, so it goes from 7 out of every 10 to at least 5 out of every 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's a good, you know, that's a good, it drops, but you would hope that it would be even more significant, especially within the
and
church.
And I think my theory on this, to some degree is that it's not talked about. My theory. And that's why when I went into this church and I saw them preach from the stage about this with kids in the audience, I was like, wow, that's impressive, because a lot of churches just aren't doing that.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of talking about it. And I think if we were to look at that, I mean, if you look at that statistic alone by itself, it's one of the biggest problems facing Christians out there.
Yeah.
There's a really good organization called Fight the, just for some resources here, called fightthenewdrug.org. And I like them because they do take a very secular approach as well to the information that they're providing. And we know, science has proven that it is damaging to us, not just what we say as Christians or how we know that what God feels about sexual sin. We also know through science that it is damaging to us as people to be engaged regularly in pornography.
Yeah, it's kind of like science backs up what the Word of God is saying here.
Almost like that.
Almost like that.
I do not think they are at odds at all, right? Like, there's so many people that think science and God are at odds, and you know, God created all the things that science are based on. So
yep.
I do not think they are at odds.
Yeah, science is a study of how God made things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a study of his creation is what it is. And so time and time again, we're seeing science back up and prove true the Word of God.
Yeah.
So I think
sometimes
that is,
they get it wrong, and that's where I think the odds are. Right?
That's where the odds are. Yeah. Where sometimes
science gets it wrong.
Yeah. And
theory based.
I was gonna say, and I was about to say, usually it's not scientific law that gets it wrong or proven science that it's scientific theory that gets it wrong. Usually, when people are coming up with theories. And hypotheses that are not well tested and affirmed and approved, then that's where there tends to be odds. Yeah. But let's see, there is I had to read this, and because as we're talking about this idea of, okay, now there is a little dip that we see within the church, but this is still a massive issue people in general. And then even within the church, this is a massive issue. Yeah. And so, and we would hope that dip would be more significant. And I want to read this passage. And this is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because I think this is really important as a kind of even a backdrop as we're getting into this and looking at this from different perspectives of unity within the church. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Well, I'm going to start in 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immorality, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body.
Yeah.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Yeah. So glorify God in your body. Okay, so there's a couple of things in there that I feel like are pretty important. One, what stands out, two big things that stand out. One, your body is a temple of God.
Yeah.
It's a temple of the Spirit, right? He points this out. Two, he's saying that every other sin a person does outwardly.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that it affects those outside of them. But he says, when you sin sexually, you're sinning against your own body. You're harming yourself. And
The temple of the Lord.
And the temple of the Lord, right? Which is not yours.
Yeah.
He's like, look, you're sinning against your own body. You're sinning against yourself. And to add another layer to that, that body's been bought with a price. It's not even yours anymore. That belongs to God. That's God's temple, right? And so you're sinning against God's temple, pretty much. When we see that, and the number three on that is he says to flee from this, right? And this is sexual immorality, right? So there's a
broad
stroke,
yes.
But obvious, like we're obviously using this and we're saying, okay, well, how does porn, right, fit within this? Porn would be one of those sexually immoral things, right? And what's interesting is that sometimes I hear people talk about it and, you know, it's, again, we talked about how within, you know, media, there are things that become normalized, right? And I feel like over recent decades in media, porn has become normalized. You even use that example of Friends.
Yeah, did I talk about it? Yeah.
You use that example of Friends, how they have that whole episode
porn all day, and everybody's just kind of okay. I mean, they know it's, they kind of know it's wrong, and they kind of make some reference to that, like you shouldn't do that. But then they're on the other hand, they're like, it's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, there's another episode where they think Phoebe has a sex tape, and they're all watching. Like all of them are watching it. And so you see this within media, this idea of this sexually immoral practice of porn being normalized. I've heard that as a young man growing up, right? And especially even at struggling with it, you kind of, it's like, oh, it's okay. You know, it's just one of those things. Everybody's doing it.
I remember people saying, oh, it's a good way to liven up your marriage.
Right?
Like, yeah, I remember that from when we were younger. And I was like, wait a minute.
Well, and
that's not quite right. But, and people do use it that way.
Yeah. And I've heard people say, oh, this is it's a way of keeping yourself from sleeping around. Using it as this is actually a practice, like this is a normal thing, a practice to keep yourself. And so dispelling these things, right?
Yeah.
Porn is not a healthy practice. We see that scientifically based, right? Yeah. That it's not a healthy practice. You can talk to counselors. You can talk, especially if you're talking to family, marital therapist, counselor, they will let you know this destroys relationships.
Yeah.
This destroys people. Who was it? I want to say it was, was it Phil? I want to say it was Phil Wickham, who had a serious issue, like to the point where he was sick. And he overcame that by the grace of God, what we expect, right?
Yeah.
By the power of God, grace of God. But also, again, there's this aspect that I feel like we're going to get into where there is relationship that is needed, and these things do need to be talked about.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big problems is that we're not talking about it. We're not providing information or resources.
Yeah.
Like that one I just shared with you, when you watch through something like that and get a really good understanding of what it actually does.
Yeah.
Like, especially for people who aren't churched, and it's like,
yep,
I'm not going to not do it just because some church person is telling me not to do it.
Exactly.
If they don't know that it's actually damaging to them scientifically.
Exactly.
And have that information in their back pocket. It's harder to make the right choice.
Yeah.
And I think that's true in the church too. Like even just understanding, and then like anything else that we struggle with within the church, we have people come alongside us and pray for us and help us put on armor of God and do those things to pull ourselves out of those hard situations. And we're meant for that. We're meant for that community, but that's not happening because it's so taboo to talk about, even though it's so prevalent. Like you just said, it's like media makes it like it's not a problem.
Right. Yeah, on the secular side, it's not even an issue.
It's not even an issue.
It's normal.
Inside the church, we can't talk about it. Is what a lot of it feels like, and I think it's getting better. Like I just said, the church I went to did that, and I have heard it talked about a little more in like leadership conferences and different things.
Yeah,
but it needs to be talked about more than it is.
Yeah, well, and this kind of touches on this idea of, look, if we're not addressing it, right, we're not willing to talk about it. It's not that it's not going to be talked about.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going to just not be addressed. It's going to look, parents, well, if you don't talk about this, right, ministers, ministry leaders, if you don't talk about this, don't think your kid is growing up completely oblivious to this being a thing, to it being out there. You may not be talking about it, but I guarantee you they're hearing about it from somebody. And you have to ask yourself, do you want their opinion? Do you want their view of these things to be molded by the world who says it's okay? Or do you want it to be molded with a biblical perspective?
Yeah. Here's a sobering statistic. This is the first one that came out to me when I looked it up.
Yeah.
93% of boys and 62% of girls exposed to online pornography before age 18.
Yep.
93%.
As someone that has seen, I will testify to that. I would say,
average age of first exposure is 11.
11.
And
see?
That's getting
right
lower
there.
And lower every year because, with the bringing in of you know,
smartphones,
smartphones. What I was thinking was is like online subscriptions.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
It's so easy for kids to access.
Yeah.
YouTube
absolutely.
Kit. Like YouTube's an app on most TVs now.
Yeah. It used to be you have to get your parents' dirty.
Yeah, you'd have
videos.
It would be a lot harder, or you were only subjected to public television.
Yep.
Which was cleaner, you know, by a long shot.
They would have
now it's just you can get anything on your TV now.
They used to have Playboys like covered up away where the kids couldn't see it and that type of stuff. Yeah. Adult section. And now you just pop on HBO and you got Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Like right. Yeah, there's plenty of shows.
I mean, and that's it is. And I mean that's it, yeah. it is it, it is uh what is it, non, what, below X rated now, but it's, you have to consider how the ratings have been becoming broader and broader and including more and more. And I mean, there's some TV shows like that and other ones where, I mean, that would have been in the adult porn section.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A decade ago. So, or two. But when we're looking at this and we're thinking about that, you have to consider, okay, this is so out there, so prevalent, mm-hmm. and people are going to talk about it. Your kids are going to hear about it. Your congregation is going to hear about it. And if you just remain completely silent,
yeah,
now there is no, now you're just hoping that they catch on to a biblical perspective from somewhere amidst all of the outside.
I'm sure part of the issue is that it's so prevalent in the church.
Yeah.
It's hard to preach on something mm-hmm. that you're struggling with. And because that's hypocrisy at the at a high level. And so I'm sure many preachers are avoiding it because they're struggling with it, which is why we need other kind of like the thing that I'm doing, the National Network of Youth Ministries, where we're bringing youth pastors together. That's one of the purposes, not specifically porn, but just people in leadership are still struggling with things. People in leadership are still tempted. In fact, they have targets on their back, so they may even be tempted more because the enemy wants to take them down.
Yeah.
And so they need those other people that they can trust that aren't going to, that they're not trying to lead.
Yeah.
That they can help, they can have these conversations and get help that they need and get someone else to pray with them against these battles that they're facing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just not what I was saying is that that's just not happening enough. And I imagine it's really hard because you are held to a higher standard as a ministry leader.
Yeah.
And this is true. Like you see in Paul, like I have the desire to do what is good.
Yeah.
But I keep doing what I don't want to do.
Yes.
Even with Paul saying that, right?
Yeah.
And so we recognize that their desire is not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the world is if they get caught, they're extricated from the church, right? And so it's really hard for someone in that position to be honest and get the help that they need.
Yeah. And can I just want to throw kind of a leadership tagline, fable, proverb, however you want to put it, one of those little leadership tagline things that I would say is false, and this is a good example of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lead someone somewhere you have not been. Now, this implies that you have already been there. You've accomplished this. You've met that destination.
Yeah.
Right? You cannot lead someone somewhere you have not been. Tell anyone who has won a championship for the first time, they cannot lead there because they have not been there. Tell Michael Jordan that he cannot lead the Bulls to a championship because he has not been to a championship.
Mm.
Right?
That's good. You know, that's before, true.
And I want to say this, especially with this issue, because a pastor may not feel like I have completely overcome this. I still struggle with this at times, right? This is still a weakness of mine. That fact, the idea that you have to be completely over it and have accomplished and won victory over it before you can speak on it is faulty. It's faulty. Because the idea is not I'm leading you where I've been. It's we're going. This is where I'm going. Are you coming with me?
Yeah.
We are going to go there.
It's an interesting one because there's something to that in the sense that it's hard to lead people towards something you haven't experienced, as far as like, if you've never experienced any kind of freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to lead other people to that because you're not convicted yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I agree with what you're saying is if you've experienced freedom in Christ in any way,
yeah,
and maybe conviction. It's a previous battle win, a previous win over something like pornography or a previous win over something else,
yeah,
then you know it's possible.
Yeah.
Then I think you can lead them there.
Absolutely. So
I think it's kind of true and not true in some ways.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be over, I think you're right. We shouldn't be overly like you can't lead anybody there because you're engaged in it.
Yeah.
Because if you know the truth and you know what can happen and you trust in that in Christ, then I think you're right. I think you probably could lead someone to it. I think God uses people beyond their means all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Every time.
Especially if you're just preaching the word. Like if you are preaching what God wrote down for us, that can convict someone even if it hasn't fully convicted you.
Yeah. Yep. And hopefully it is convicting you. And that's why I say it's
hopefully.
You're leading where you're going.
Yeah.
Not where I've been. Oh, I've been there, but this is where I'm going. And you're encouraging others to come with you. So as long as you are moving in the direction of I am going to overcome this, not, oh, I'm going to dig in and go deeper into porn. But no, I'm getting out of this and you're preaching. We're going to get out of this. Let's go. Then you do that. You lead the way. And one of the great things about that is that so often when we feel like we've accomplished something, then all of a sudden we think that we are we're the guru, we're you know, the master of it. We know all the answers, right? And you don't. You don't.
No.
And this is the thing, like, yeah, okay, so you won a championship. You overcame your struggle. Not everyone is going to overcome their struggle the same way you did.
Yeah.
Not every championship is going to be like the one you played against the team you played.
Yeah, that's why we need to remain humble all the time.
Exactly. And I think when you are someone who has, like, you're coming from the place of, I've been there, I know what I'm talking about, sometimes we can lose that grace along mm-hmm. with what truth we feel like we know. And we overlook that we don't know everything, right? And so sometimes it's even better if you're saying, no, I haven't been there, but I'm not going to stop till I get there. Come with me. Because you can come at it with also this humble approach of, look, I haven't been there, but I'm going there and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And so I've been listening to this guy, right, who seems to be more of an expert on it. And especially as a pastor, you don't need to be the only one preaching, right? So if you have listened to or you know of people who are speaking on this and you feel like they're better suited, you listen to them, you're getting something from it, invite them to speak. Invite them to share that to your church.
If you don't feel ready or you feel like you're struggling with something, have someone else
Else touch on it, right? As long as you're there on the front row and you're eating it up and you're saying, I'm going to do this. Come do this with me, right? Like we're going to be doers of the word together. As long as you're doing that and you're not like, you know, you're just like walking around the property, you're in the back and you're just kind of, I'm going to let him handle it because I'm not over this and I don't plan to get over it. Like, as long as that's not your mindset, but you're saying, no, we're going to,
that's true. Like victory. Usually you're going to, you'll know that about whoever you're following. And that's a discernment issue.
Exactly.
That we need to figure out.
In
general, because any pastor who feels like they don't have anything to learn, is not a pastor I'm going to follow.
Come on now. So, I mean, I think while we may be, don't let conviction keep you silent.
Yeah.
If anything, use that as motivation to push forward and lead in that direction of overcoming those things.
Yeah.
Don't come at it from a perspective of I'm the expert. I've been there, done that. But no, this is a struggle within the church. Many of us in here are struggling with it. And so we're going to, as a church body, as a family, we are going to overcome this.
Yeah.
And,
it's gonna be
right?
Last episode. So if it would have been downloaded.
So with that, I think we need to push past, you know, the silence, invite others to speak. Don't feel like you have to be the expert and be able to do it on your own. This gets back to, again, we need to realize that we may be a toe, we may be a thumb, we may be a nose.
Make a really good toe.
Right, right. You, all I'm saying is you are not the only mouthpiece, right?
Yeah.
So invite others to speak. Invite others to share, to equip the saints, right? And
invite others into your struggle.
Yes.
Like, no matter what level of leadership you are on.
Yes.
Invite others into your struggle, because and you know, you need to do your diligence, find someone you can trust. Yep. That's not gonna just throw you under the bus. You want people that are gonna come fight alongside you.
Exactly.
We need to find those people.
Absolutely. There is no one. I can't think of anyone within the world where you don't at least have a peer.
Yeah.
Where you don't at least have a peer. Maybe you're the president of the U.S., right? So it's the greatest nation of the world. But you still have peers. You still have other world leaders, right? You still can talk to other executive leaders of other nations as peers. And so, like, you should always have that opportunity for accountability. Most ministries have things set up where you have layers of accountability. If you're part of a network, a district or something, then you have these layers set up already. And if you're not comfortable in that, find a group of ministers, like we were saying, like with NNYM. Out here, we have, you know, the Valley Network. The Valley Network now, right? So we have that. I'm part of the Boise Underground, right? We have these different things, and you have networks within denominations and all these. And if you don't have any of that, then just get together with a few pastors.
And this is the unity piece, right? This is where you bring in the unity, because if we can get unified around defeating things like porn in the church,
absolutely,
we will be more successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The body of Christ will be stronger for it. And look, there are some things you will not overcome it alone. You're meant to overcome it in relationship. This is one of the reasons why we confess our sins to one another.
Yep.
This is one of the reasons why scripture encourages us to do that, is because we overcome these things with each other's prayers, sharpening one another, giving accountability to one another and encouragement to one another. That's how we overcome some of these things.
Yeah. And so, getting educated.
Yeah.
You know, doing going through those videos, like the ones I mentioned, there's other ones out there. But getting educated on and being so that you can share with other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yourself, you know, of course, we need to be educated for ourselves, because it'll help us make better decisions, but also so that you can help the people around you to make better decisions.
All right. So a couple of other things that I wanted to hit on. You've probably noticed I've been looking over here and typing in these little notes, because these are certain things that I want to make sure we touch on when it comes to this aspect of unity. One of the things with pornography, same that people will use for sexual sin, is that, you know, I'm not hurting anybody, right? Mm. I'm not hurting anybody. This is a private matter. I'm not hurting nobody. Scripture says, I'm doing it to myself. I'm not doing it to nobody else, right?
Yep. Heard that one.
Right? So, go ahead.
And use that for my own purposes, right?
Yep.
We ever use those for our own purposes? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not hurting anybody. It's not hurting anybody. And then we realize the truth.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is, it absolutely will. Absolutely does hurt others. And so one of those big things, there's four things that I have mentioned here, or that I wrote down here, that I'm going to read them all off, and then we can kind of go back and touch on these.
Yeah.
But when you may look at porn as a private struggle, you're not hurting anybody. But here are four big things that your, you know, porn addiction or use, how it can affect people outside of yourself. One, human trafficking.
Yep.
I know we don't want to hear it. We want to separate those worlds, but they are very closely intertwined. So human trafficking.
I've told this to a number of people when I'm helping people that are struggling with that, is one of the things that actually really helped me overcome the struggle.
Yeah.
Was, first of all, well, and this is before then, but it's even helped me to maintain afterwards, is imagining a family member being stuck in that.
Yeah.
And realizing and recognizing that those are real people. Real people that are stuck in an industry because of the funding that comes from our viewership.
Yeah.
And what would you, how would you feel if that was a close, and for me, like now it's like, if it was my daughter.
Exactly.
Or my mother, or my sister. And I think that is really helpful. It's really helpful in our minds to recognize what we could be doing to someone that was close to us.
Yeah.
And then that person on the other side, and I've seen plenty of testimonies now just through videos of previous porn stars and those kind of things. Just the pain that comes along with that, that they're going through.
There it is.
And the things that they're doing that they would never have done because the money's there.
Yeah.
And the money's only there because the viewership is there.
Exactly.
Whether you're paying for it, that's another lie, right? Well, I'm not paying for it. You're paying for it by your views.
Exactly.
Because that's how they fund it, through advertisements and stuff like that.
Yep. Which that's another one, right? So you have that human trafficking, the consenting porn star's soul. If nothing else, like Randall was just saying, I mean,
yeah, and that's right, because they're consenting to it. You know, they're making that decision. It's their fault. I've heard that. You
right?
know?
But and what about their soul? You are feeding into something that is destroying their soul. And you don't know how they're feeling, how they're distraught on the other side of things. They may come off as if, oh, I'm living my best life. But what about their soul? And are you doing, by your views, are you emboldening and helping them to continue on a path of destruction for their mind, for their heart, for their emotions, and importantly, their soul.
Yeah. And every single testimony I've seen on it, they are faking.
Absolutely.
That is not, they are not as happy as they may think, or may, as they may put out there.
Yeah. Yep. Because nobody wants to watch a unhappy porn star.
Yeah.
Well, some
that could
people.
Be it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's
well, and nobody wants to let everybody know that they're unhappy either.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
They're making the money that everybody dreams to make.
Yeah.
And so they're going to portray what they think they should portray in that.
Exactly. Cause that's how the money keeps coming.
Yep.
So you have human trafficking. And even if it's outside of human trafficking, what about their souls, right? Their well-being, the marriages that porn destroys. And you may think, oh, not me. We always think not me. We always think we're different. But if you are giving in to this desire of watching porn, that will likely affect your marriage. Like,
probably 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that is going to in some way end up affecting your marriage, whether it completely destroys it or it gives you some rough patches and some difficulties with intimacy or whatever it may be. But there is
it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And it'll create unrealistic expectations.
Yep.
Which actually, we haven't really talked about it yet. The thing that scares me the most is the new AI stuff that's coming out.
Yeah.
Because then we can start doing this, and because some of the things that we've already pointed out, you could maybe convince yourself it's okay because, well, they don't have a soul, and it's not hurting anybody because it's just this AI thing. However, that's what it's going to hurt is your relationships.
Exactly.
A girl that does, I see the ads for them. They're like, a girl that doesn't say no. And that terrifies me for my daughters, honestly, because I don't want a guy coming to my daughter that has this mindset that, you should do everything that I want you to do because my AI girlfriend did.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
That
is. And that's where you see those other things aside, those this point that you're making, this the wrong expectations and the way it affects our actual relationships.
Exactly.
That even if it's a fake person,
yeah,
that's going to affect your real relationships.
Exactly.
And it'll destroy them.
Yep, absolutely. And that was my next thing, was opposite gender. Like, our relationship, how we view the opposite gender, is going to be affected by this consumption of porn.
Yep.
Where you are not going to honor and revere the opposite gender as you should, but you're going to look at it more like a object of gratification. And so this idea of it's going to affect your marriage. You have to think about their souls. You have to think about how this feeds into this whole human trafficking dynamic. And then it's going to affect your relationships with the opposite gender and just your viewpoint of them and how you relate to them. And then lastly, this weakens the church, just to put it bluntly. This weakens the church, all right? When we're talking about ministers who can't speak up on issues, we're talking about the fact that we can't address real-time struggles and pretty much, wide-sweeping, I don't know if pandemic is the right word for it, but wide-sweeping issues within the world.
Yeah.
That are real life struggles and issues. When we can't talk about it as a church, we're handicapping ourselves. We are weakening the church, and this undercuts so much of the church's integrity, the church's authenticity and speaking towards truth. The undercuts the view of us having the Holy Spirit indwelling within us and us being a new creation that can rise above these things. And it's not that it's impossible. It's not that these things aren't true. It's that we're not walking in it.
Yeah.
Because we're choosing to keep things silent.
And likely we are stifling the Holy Spirit's ability to work through us.
Exactly.
God cannot inhabit an area that is filled with sin.
Yeah.
Now, good news is, like, we can come in repentance, clean that up, learn to be better, but it will definitely stifle God's ability to work through you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just like any sin would. And there's,
I was going to say that.
There's other ones we're not talking about today.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so important for us to be in community and praying with each other and for each other. And, not getting stuck in the shame cycle. Cause I, even us talking about this, I'm thinking, like, are people just going to feel like we're attacking them and ashamed because we're pointing out the wrongs?
Yeah.
And it's like, many people already know that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really just to help us have that information. Right.
Yeah.
And then I know our heart generally would be behind this, is that we just want to help people overcome that.
Yes.
And because we know it's stifling a church, we need to talk about it. We need to move forward together and pull people out of these pits that they're in all together. And that could be across any of the sins that we get stuck in.
Absolutely.
And the enemy's crafty, man. He's working hard. He's working hard with the AI girlfriends and all this stuff that we're talking about to bring the church down. And unfortunately, he's been pretty successful.
Yeah. And he can't stop the church, but he's definitely he's definitely causing hurt and harm. And the church should be a lot farther, I would say.
Yeah.
A lot more powerful and edifying than what it is portrayed because of issues like this. I'm so glad you said that, because we've kind of dropped some of this in here, but I want us to look back at these and say, you know, on the flip side, yes, right? We're talking about how these things are negatives, and we've touched on some of the positive, like, this is how you can overcome it, positive side that speaks to those things. But I want us to just make sure we touch on those before we wrap this thing up. So for example, we started off, I'm just going to read real quick. So we started off talking about that idea that, you know, we're not leading against these things alone, right? Using network, using using other ministers, other people, as ministry leaders, we need to have those peers or those even mentors that we're able to talk to, and that we're
really
able
is
to
a call
in.
To unity.
Yeah,
it's a call to unity.
Absolutely,
like, come together, people, and don't do these battles alone, because that is where the devil's going to win.
Exactly, exactly. If you keep it in the dark, that's where he wants it.
Yep.
You keep it in the dark, that's where he wants it. You're trying to lift it all by yourself. That's where he wants you. He wants you in the weight room all by yourself, no spotter, no one there to help you.
A spotter, yes.
But look,
put on the holy spotter.
Right? We need those workout partners, guys. Like, we need those training partners. Yeah. You look at, I mean, I know everybody wants to be Mr. T, right? And Rocky. Everybody wants to I train
does
alone.
Anybody know what
I
Mr.
fight
T
alone.
Is? That's what
I win alone. Everybody wants to know.
I don't know what our median age group is for viewership on this, but you might want to explain who Mr. T is. Oh.
That's why I said Rocky.
Pity the fool who doesn't know who Mr. T is.
You watch Rocky, watch Rocky 3 with Mr. T, you'll get that whole I train alone. I fight alone. I win alone. No. That's why you got your butt kicked. Because Rocky partnered up with Apollo, right? And he worked as a team. They worked together.
We don't want to be Mr. T. We want to be 300.
Right? We need to make sure that we are working with others. Don't think you're going at this alone. So there's that unity. And this is the big thing with that. You are not alone. We kind of talked about at the start. Right. Yeah. When you look at these high statistics, realize you're not alone. The enemy is going to lie to you, going to make you feel isolated, going to make you feel like if you share this, then you're going to be shunned and you're going to be, you know, put into a dark corner in the back room. But
I would even
not
go as far
alone
as to
in
say,
this.
If you're a pastor or a church leader watching this, like, reach out to us. If you don't have anybody else you can reach out to.
Absolutely. If
reach
you
out
feel
to
like
us,
you,
man, I will talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel like you don't have someone that you can talk to, reach out to us. Reach out to us. But you are not. Just want to encourage you guys. You're not alone in this. All right, and you're not meant to overcome it alone. That's not how we're not meant to walk out this faith, to grow as disciples all alone. You look throughout Scripture; that doesn't happen. There's always relationship. So many of the things God's trying to develop within us require relationship. You can't really, you know, you can't really practice patience too much when you're the only one. Like, there's so many things that when it comes to practicing being peaceable, when it comes to practicing patience, love, all this joy, like that, all these things happen within relationship. Within relationship dynamics. We talked about this idea of human trafficking and realizing the tie there, that there is a strong tie there, whether or not you realize it, whether or not they're promoting it as all consensual and happy and go lucky. There is such a strong tie with porn and human trafficking. And who was it? It's I want to say it was Joel. It was one of the For King and Country guys. They mention, and they have this great film called Priceless, if you haven't seen it. They have a great film called Priceless. And so, but they, at a concert, they were talking about, because they sell these little priceless souvenirs, merchandise, whatnot. Yeah. They sell these things, and all the proceeds go to fighting human trafficking. And so they were talking about how the number one thing, the biggest impact, number one thing that we could do to fight human trafficking is stop watching porn.
Yeah.
Like, men just get off of it. Don't do it. That would be the biggest impact if men would just stop. And women now too. It's grown
and women
so
now
much
too. That's
women.
Actually, that was a point I was going to make earlier. It used to be a man's problem.
Yeah.
It is not anymore. It's both. And it's a little less. The percentage is a little less for girls, but it's, It's still a high percentage.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So if we could just stop that, I mean, that would we're combating two issues at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, if you get rid of the porn, you're also going to end up bringing down human trafficking tremendously.
Yep. And that's another reason to also share with the rest of your church.
Yes.
Yes. Because there's other guys struggling. There's other girls struggling. If you guys can get together, you could actually do a lot towards reducing some of that demand.
Yeah. And what's the call? And so, and that brings up the point, and I think that's, this is for the next two, really, both the human trafficking thing and when it comes to the consenting porn star, right? And their soul, and just being mindful of that. Pray for these people.
Yeah.
It is hard. I'm telling you, it is hard to sin against those that you are going down to your knees.
You're actively praying
for.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
It is hard to sin against them when you
are praying for them. That'll help.
Yep. Yeah. So pray for them. Pray for their souls, and their well-being. And so that that's just, you know, a good takeaway from that. And that's something that when it comes to unity within the body of Christ, we cannot overlook the tremendous power and need of prayer always leading the way in that.
And this is a side note, but nobody is too far gone.
Yes.
And just like I was saying, I've seen so many testimonies of ex-Satanists, ex-porn stars, ex-witches, ex-whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is in the business of restoration and redemption.
Come on
and
now.
So never let your own thoughts on who could be or will be saved get in the way of who you're praying for.
Yeah, absolutely. That next one was marriages. Marriages. I mean, look, marriage is one of the greatest blessings we have on earth outside of relationship with God himself, right? Like, marriage is one of those things amongst creation that is just so beautiful, such a beautiful reflection of the kingdom of heaven and such a gift and blessing to mankind. And so with that encouragement, know, like, this will strengthen your marriage, whether you're in one or it's a future marriage.
Yeah, I was going to say,
like, just like, know.
For those of you that are single out there, then you're like, you know, I'm not married yet. This isn't going to affect. You will take into your marriage whatever sexual sin you are doing now. Yep. And that's true of not just watching porn, but even just engaging sexually with people.
Yes.
Without really having much thought about it. Or there's a reason why God tells us not to do that.
Yep.
And it's because it does change. And if you've already done it, there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's all those things. But you will, saving yourself from marriage is a lost thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen a whole lot, but the more you can do to keep yourself out of those things, pornography and the, and actual acts, the better your marriage will be eventually. I think that it does help immensely. And so,
And I'm going to go there. I'm going to say this because it's a podcast and we're not at a church pulpit, so I can say this. It is going to, when we say it's going to help your marriage, we're not just talking about like the overall relationship. Your sex life and marriage will be 10 times better. This is something that has been studied and proven. The world will tell you lies and be like, oh, well, you have to know what you're doing. You got to get practice. You got to get good at it.
Yeah.
Nope. The people with the greatest satisfaction in their sex life are those with the fewest amount of sexual partners. Mm. When you go into your marriage, when you go into your marriage, a virgin, especially, right? That sexual, I want to say drive, but there's another word for it. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Your libido, your sexual drive, your desire, all of that is much higher in marriage when you go into marriage without having a history. And so the lower that count, right? You know, people want to brag on building up body counts. Nope, bring it down. Bring it down. This is like golf. This is golf, guys. All right? This is golf. So the lower the score,
I want to get a double birdie or better.
Right? The better it will be. All right? So
double birdie on a par three.
So when considering this, take that encouragement of the blessing that marriage is, and submit this to God and pray for that future marriage. And
the sad thing is that this might be the first time people have heard this message.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, well, it's too late for me.
No. And no, it's not.
It's not. It's not. But what I'm trying to say is that's even more the reason we need to be talking about these things more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people are finding themselves past the point of no return, so to speak, mm-hmm. which there is no point. God can heal anything. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
But it's because we haven't talked about it enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because we don't say these things, and because it's hard. It's hard to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, don't expect your youth pastor to do it, because youth pastors know that many parents won't be okay with it.
Yeah.
And I would encourage youth pastors to talk about it, but this really needs to come from parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the parents have to be okay with that as well.
They have to be okay with
parent,
it.
Youth parents are riding this, I want to say a fine line, but
youth pastors,
not even that, youth pastors. Yeah. Youth pastors have to be considerate and respectful
of all parents. Of
the parents, all the parents. Maybe your parents are fine with it, but you know, little homeschool Timmy over here, their parents are like absolutely no go. And so the youth pastors need to respect those things,
right,
as well as what type of standard and consideration for the topic that the lead pastors have as well, and whether or not they're comfortable having them having those conversations. And so there's a few different things at work there, but when you're talking parents and kids, those are your kids. Yeah. Don't leave it up to someone else.
You are their primary discipler.
Exactly. Come on now.
It is not the church.
Come on.
The church will do what they can, but you are their primary discipler.
Yes. And so the marriage, I mean, that bleeds right into us just talking about opposite gender. Look, there are things in this world where you know this. I'm going to say this, and you already know this. You can probably think of this. There are things in this world where there came a moment and you didn't realize like how beautiful, how great it was. Because you were just kind of looking past it. You weren't thinking about it. You were taking it for granted, whatever it may be. You didn't like sit down and take it in, right? My wife always likes to say, to enjoy the moment, right? To have a moment. So with that, sometimes we don't do this with things all around us, but all of us have likely had this moment in our life where we're like, man, that really is great, or something like that, where we finally took a moment and we captured it. The reason I bring that up is because when you're able to flip that switch and you're able to discard the warping of the opposite gender that things like pornography does,
mm-hmm.
you are going to have so much more of a greater appreciation for how God has created those around you.
Mm.
You're going to have so much more of a greater appreciation for the opposite gender. And look, it's funny. We know girls like to make fun of boys. Boys like to make fun of girls. And, you know, we have all these little jokes and, you know, try to the ball and chain, right? And like all these different things where we try to talk down about each other. But let's be serious. Look, women are the greatest thing God has given man, and vice versa. And if we can just appreciate that is going to help and appreciate it in the right way. All right. Yeah. Not in a dirty little, I'm gonna go watch porn way. I'm gonna go appreciate them. No, not that. That's not appreciation. That's not appreciation. Yeah, that's depreciation. That's lust. That's lust, depreciation, devaluing, treating with contempt. That's what that is. But honoring that. Honoring the beauty, the fact that they're created by God and so unique and such a blessing to mankind, right? if we can do that, that, and get this, what if your future spouse looks at you that same way?
Yeah.
Right? But
well, that's the whole treat others as you would like to be treated.
I was going to say, right there, right? I was about to say, like you can't.
Let's look at them the way we want them to look at us.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on. So let's do that. And again, all of these things, I would encourage you in that, be someone that is an encourager, that is an edifier, that speaks well of others and does not demean or talk down on others. And that's going to go a long way, yep. Not just with any relationship, not even just with the opposite sex, right? But just be someone that is an encourager, an edifier, yeah, that speaks well of the great things you see in other people, or the good things you see in other, yeah, people. That's going to go
and
a long way.
If you're able, be a listening board for those who are struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
People need it. They need that other person that can listen and encourage,
yeah,
through there, not condemn.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I mean, as when we do all these things, we're strengthening the church.
Yeah.
While the struggle may bring, you know, some weakness within the church, it may expose some weaknesses. God is strong. He shows his strength in our weakness. And it's us. That doesn't mean like, oh, let me be completely weak because, you know, then God will show up. No, it's just, this is saying that he is going to step in as your strength. So the reason I think that's so important is because you may feel like you cannot overcome this. You may feel like I've tried. Yeah. I just don't have it in me. You're right. You can't do this, but God can.
Yeah.
And so we need to lean in on that and realize that he can take what the world would deem weak, what you would deem weak, and he can make that a strength within the church.
Yeah.
Right. And so lean into him, lean in to the relationships that he's called you to being in unity and good relationship with others, so that, mm-hmm, you can find that healing and discipleship within a community of believers and drawing closer, yeah, to God. And what was a weakness within the church will end up becoming a strength, yeah, a strong point of the church, where no, we have a track record. We know how to take this on. We can help
you. The testimony of overcoming is powerful.
Come on now. Come on.
When God does set you free, which I believe he will, if you seek freedom with God.
Yeah.
When he does set you free, you have a testimony that is honoring and brings glory to him.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, I mean, I think we're about time. We are on time. Overtime. any final closing thoughts there?
See, closing thoughts, just kind of a sum up of what we just talked about. Don't do it alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yes.
Is the easy one that I think a lot of people just think they're the only ones struggling with that.
Yeah.
And the statistics say otherwise.
Yeah. And again, and reach out to us. If you feel like I can't talk to somebody, talk to us. Reach out to us.
Yep. I'm happy to talk to anybody to help them with anything. So we're talking specifically about this today. If you're struggling with something else and you just want someone to talk to you about it. Hey, we're always asking people to engage in the conversation. That's what we want to be a part of.
Absolutely. We want.
And what else?
And I'm just going to say, we want you.
Sorry.
Oh, no. We want you to be part of the conversation.
Yeah. Be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Seek the resources. I'm going to say it again. Fightthenewdrug.org is great. Watch their three video series.
Yes.
It will just help you switch some things in your brain about how you think about how porn is, especially if you're one of those ones that we talked about. Is like, well, it's not hurting anybody. Go watch those videos. It'll help you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, just to reiterate, absolutely. We're here to help. We want you to be part of the conversation. We want you guys to share thoughts, comments, but we also want you to know, again, that we're here for you. when it comes to things, if there's things that we can pray for you on, let us know. We want to help you out with that. If you feel like, you know, you guys talk about these different things and it would be nice to kind of just have your perspective on this specific situation you guys may have going on, let us know. We want to have those conversations with you. We want to be here to help, especially when it comes to maintaining unity or strengthening unity, with whether that's within your home, within your ministry, organization, your church, whatever it may be. We are here to help. So please reach out. With that being said, the last thing that I want to highly encourage and emphasize, as we talked about, is come at these things with prayer. Come at every single one of these things with prayer. When it comes to
Bring God into the battle.
Bring them into the battle and realize that, I mean, you're fighting a fight. You're fighting against this human trafficking. You're fighting against the enemy trying to keep you silent and closed off. You're fighting against what the enemy's trying to do to people's souls that are engaged, whether it's in porn, this porn activity, or these sexual immoral practices, bringing that prayer to whether you're in a marriage or it's a future marriage or a relationship that you have now or a future relationship, the way that we're treating the opposite gender and the strength and unity of our churches. We want to make sure that we are growing in unity and strengthening the unity of our churches.
Yeah. And along those lines, know that God has seen it all. God knows. He knows it all. And sometimes we're afraid to bring things to God because they're like, whoa, this is really terrible. And he doesn't like it, you know.
He's knows.
Seen it all, and he already knows. Yeah, he already knows. But also, the heart posture of I want your help, God, is actually what he's looking for.
Yes,
he's not going to come down with his condemnation because he knows. He knows the battle. Yeah. He knows the struggle. He knows the devil's schemes and the temptations that he's laid before you, and he wants to help you overcome it.
Yeah. So good. All right. I'm going to close us with prayer. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to talk about what, you know, can be a difficult subject to talk about that often remains silent. But I pray, Father, that it would not be silent within your church, but that truth and grace would speak over this. Father, that there would be a hopeful demeanor as we approach this conversation and knowing that we have a God who makes us new, who gives us strength, who can help anyone and everyone to overcome, who can really make a positive change and impact, who says, yes, you may just be one and you may feel like you may not be able to affect a whole industry of millions with human trafficking or porn, but realizing that no, we serve a God who can do amazing things, and he does it with every single person, one individual at a time, and also bringing us together. So I pray, Father, that you would give us hope in stepping into that, being part of that, of knowing that we are walking to reflect your truth, to reflect your grace, to reflect the transformation that you bring within us, and the fact that your kingdom can come, your will be done in these situations, and you will free people, you will destroy industries of the enemy, and that you will raise your church up to be victorious over this, that the church would be where people look to, where they go when they have this struggle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the In Hope podcast today. Remember to like, subscribe, share, join this conversation, and invite others to this conversation.
And if you would like to be a part of our ministry moving forward, we would love to have you jump on our support team. And you can find that on the website.